ESH, Electric Sisterhood, the Girl Gaming and Anime Podcast. I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this is episode 14, Eternal Rest.
Aww.
Yeah.
That sounds sad.
It's a downer.
It's
been a sad week. Sad news, sad times. Not good times. Sad
no.
times.
No. Well, it happens.
Yeah. What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Yeah. So, business.
Yeah.
What do we got today, Ninja?
We got a little extra business. Little more than usual. A little more than normal. But that's okay. So, I'm going to start right off the bat. You got to keep hitting us up on the website, www.electricsisterhood.com. Home of the best girl gaming and anime podcast ever.
Yeah.
You can comment on articles on the website. You can read our articles on the website. So you can tell us if you agree or if you disagree. You can use our Hit Us Up link on the website to fill out a form and ask us questions or comment on stuff or suggest something that we should read maybe and or write about. And it comes directly to us. And you can also enter our weekly sweepstakes using the form or by commenting on the site. And you can also call us on a toll-free number, which is 1-888-333-8985. It's a free call for you.
Free love for us.
And we love the free love.
I just love love.
Because the tax on love is, it's too great. It really is.
And I live in New England, so.
Tax too. So anyway, you can hit us up. Let us know what you like, what you don't. Ask us a question. If it's cool enough, we'll actually use the audio of the question in a podcast. Otherwise, you can expect an answer either via email or article on the website or not if we don't like the question at all. So that's the website business. Which brings us to this week's Candy Bitch.
We have a wiener.
Drum roll. Bob. You got candy, bitch!
Yummy candy.
Yay!
So we'll be giving out an email so we can get your contact information so we can send it to you.
Yes.
So you can enjoy it. Take a picture of yourself with it and give it back to us so you can we can put you in our lovely candy hall of fame.
Yes, thing. The Candy Bitches Hall of Fame. Yay! Also, we are turning our Show Us Your Skins gallery into a full-on cause. So here's the deal, people. If you get a Decal Girl skin for any object, so if you get a skin for a iPod or for a Mac Mini or for your car, whatever, and take a picture of it and send it to us, we'll put it up in our gallery. We'll put up a post that day and let people know where the images came from, who the images form, how cool we think it is, where you can find it in the gallery, and here's the kicker, you'll be automatically entered into our sweepstakes for 4 weeks. So that's one entry every week for 4 weeks. That's basically a month of entries into the sweepstakes just for sending us a picture for the gallery. I think that's pretty damn cool.
That's pretty damn cool.
Also, we're thinking about starting a new gallery that we're going to call Fresh Picks, and Fresh stands for Friends of Electric Sisterhood.
Basically, we have friends.
Yeah, we do. We have a lot of friends. We get hit up on the website by friends. We get hit up on the forum by friends. So, you know, I just thought they're not fans. They're friends. because we talk to them like friends.
Well, because they are our friends.
This is what I'm saying. You're the one who asked the question, do we have friends? Yes.
We have friends.
Yeah, we have friends. We totally have friends.
It was a statement.
Yeah, we totally have friends. I thought it was a question. It sounded kind of inquisitive.
No.
All right, moving on. So, the idea is, if you're throwing some LAN parties, if you're throwing some WoW parties, gaming parties, if you're going to have an anime movie marathon weekend, or, you know, just generally hanging out and geeking it out, take some photos of it and send them to us at fresh@electricsisterhood.com. Okay? And let us know who's in the photo, what you're doing, and that you dig ESH. And we're going to start this new gallery and put all that stuff up there. And again, you send us an image for the gallery, you get 4 weeks of entries for the sweepstakes.
Better chances to win free shit.
Okay, that's pretty damn chill. Now, obviously, people who already won candy aren't eligible to win candy again, but if you haven't won a t-shirt, you're still eligible to win a t-shirt. So, you know, candy bitches.
T-shirt.
You're still in this shit, so you need to, like, come on.
It up.
And other than that, I don't have any other business right now. We have one more thing on the horizon, but I need to wait a little bit on that. So you just got to keep it on lock to hear about it, but it'll be pretty cool.
Keep listening.
Yep, you just got to keep
listening.
It's going to get hot in here.
Oh, sheesh.
Yeah, so anyway. That's all the business that I have, so I will turn it over to you, Panda.
Oh, boy. Hey, guys. Well, keeping in the spirit of mourning, I decided to talk about an anime that I didn't feel really hit the mark. Lunar Legend Tsukihime. Maybe some of you guys have heard of it. Some of you guys haven't. Those who haven't, don't go near it. And those who have, I feel bad for you. We should go into a 12-step program to recover.
This does not sound encouraging.
It isn't really. Like, I had a lot of high hopes for this series. I mean, I do own it. It's a 3-DVD set. You know, 12 episodes. So, you know, I knew it was going to be short and to the point. But this just kind of, you know, committed seppuku and left its body by, like, a dumpster. Like, it really wasn't even worth the proper disposal.
Okay.
Anyway, so, you know, I did some searching to figure out maybe why it sucked so bad. And, you know, it actually has its origins from a game. A horror, suspense, drama, dating sim game.
Oh, okay. Well,
so
why would you get anything confusing out of that?
Well, because if you know, when I discuss the series, you know, and you're going to be like, dude, what the fuck? Then you'll understand why. Because, I mean, you have your main character, and he's a boy.
Okay.
You know, his name's Shiki.
Shiki! No.
Yeah. And, you know, he seems pretty normal, lives a pretty good life. So, you know, nothing seems to really, you know, ail him. You know, he's a part of a very prestigious family. You know, the parents are no longer in the picture, so he's the head of the house.
Okay.
You know, so he's got that responsibility on him. Not that he really takes, you know, full charge of that, because, you know, he's still only in high school and, you know, only 15 years old. So I know I wouldn't want to take that kind of responsibility at that age myself.
Right.
You know, and, you know, you kind of see that he has this dark past, which, you know, isn't really warranted by anything else. You know, when he was younger, you know, he has this ability to see these red lines that go through everything. People, chairs, you know, and these are like lines of fate.
Okay.
Like lines of death. And, you know, he has this pocket knife that has this little emblem on it, you know, that he carries around with him everywhere. And, you know, when he was younger, you know, the fact that he could see these lines, it would drive him crazy because he'd be compelled to, you know, cut these lines.
Oh, so and, he'd be a little insane in the membrane?
Insane in the brain. And, you know, it got to a point where, you know, he comes across this lady who doesn't tell him who she is or how she knows about his ability, who, you know, tells him, oh, well, I can give you glasses that will help you not see the lines until it's your time to see them.
Okay, so this like mystery, what do you woman. Call it? Optometrist. Just kind of like, wear these glasses and everything will be okay.
Right. And she doesn't give a name. She's like sitting by this tree, you know, and he's a little kid and he runs by the tree and she's just like, you can see the lines, can't you? No, and she's like, I'll give you something to help you not see them until the time comes when, you know, it's your destiny to. So, you know, it really kind of gives you all the suspense to make you go, you know, so obviously he was meant to see the lines. Maybe he's going to save somebody. Maybe he's going to fall in love. Maybe, you know, it's going to be a really good series. You know, they get you all excited. It's like a really good first date. You know, not everything is put out there.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of around.
Uh-huh.
It's really intriguing.
Uh-huh.
You know, and... You know, one day, you know, Shiki, now he's back at being 15, you know, walking from school,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he walks by this park and he sees this very attractive wand-headed woman, you know, and she's wearing this nice sweater with this skirt, you know, she's not bothering anybody. She's just kind of standing there, you know, and he's got his glasses on, you know, and he starts kind of getting twitchy, like he can't figure out why, you know, and... You know, it kind of, you know, it does this whole, like, scattered shot where, you know, you see, like, him getting closer
uh-huh.
to her, you know, and then he completely blacks out, and it's the next morning, and he's back home.
Okay.
So, you don't know what happened, you know, maybe he had a heat stroke, and this, you know, fine-looking, you know, blonde lady brought him back to his house, you know, maybe found a wallet, but no. You know, and you don't understand why, and... You know, he goes off to school, minding his own business, you know, doesn't really know what's going on. And here's this woman, and she's stalking him, you know, and she's claiming, one, that he killed her yesterday, and two, that, you know, she's a vampire.
Wait, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
Wait, she's claiming that he killed her, but she's there to tell him that he killed her and that she's a vampire.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right, just want to make sure that I was following along with you.
You know, and you know, this is when she introduces herself as Arquaid Brunstud. I'm going to call her Arc because Arquaid is not very easy to roll off the tongue.
Arc works for me.
So, you know, and Arc, you know, at first, in the first few episodes, you know, she's very curt, she's very blunt. She doesn't have a lot of emotion. She's not human, so she doesn't have that human characteristic, you know, that life in her.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you kind of get the sense that, you know, even though she's living, quote unquote, you know, and physically there, that life isn't there. You know, so that's where the whole death thing comes into play. You know, and she is destined to find this, her arch nemesis, who is this guy named Roa. You know, and she pretty much goes to Shiki and says, hey, you've totally killed me. Now my presence is known, you know, and Roa's going to find me, and I need someone to protect me because since you killed me, my powers are, like, weakened.
Okay, so she got killed, but she didn't die, so it's not really unless you, like, stab a vampire, like, through the heart and lop their head off, isn't really anything you do to them just aggravated assault?
Yeah. It is.
Because, you know, you shouldn't say that you killed me if you're not dead. That's just me.
Well,
okay,
in a sense,
I could be wrong.
She was dead before he killed her.
Right. So it's not like he could kill again because she was already dead. So, you know, you could
but
be
regardless,
like,
for the sake of the
you
series,
maimed me.
Yeah,
you
she
know.
Should just say that. But, I mean, so...
You hurt
you know,
me
she's...
in my vampire soul.
She doesn't have a soul.
Well, you know...
Well, actually, that's a question to pose later on in the series, actually.
Oh, no. All right, please continue.
But anyway, so, you know, she's claiming all this stuff. He doesn't believe a word of it. You know, no offense, I wouldn't either. You know, the fact that, you know, she's walking around me and all that crap. You know, but, you know, she won't leave him alone because, you know, now all these forces are after her, and it's true. You know, you kind of got this evil, like, I'm not bashing religion, but, you know, the Catholics are always trying to purify everything. So, you know, you kind of got this, you know, this elite, superior Catholic cult who sends this, you know, nun, you know, like, exorcist woman
to, you know, get Arquaid away from Shiki, you know, and, you know, she kind of looks like, you know, if you ever saw Sailor Moon, she kind of looks like Amy.
What?
You know, Sailor Mercury.
Yes.
Sort of. She's got the blue hair and she's kind of got that, yeah. And, you know, and she's just kind of like, I want Ark away from Shiki. You know, she's tainted and she's going to try to steal his blood and blah, 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 blah. You know, and she's a vampire, so you totally assume that, you know, she's probably planning to bite him eventually.
Uh-huh.
But here comes a twist. You know, because, the title is Lunar Legend to Tsukihime, you know, and to Tsukihime actually means moon princess. And, uh-huh. You know, so you kind of have to go, well...
Sailor Moon's not going to make an appearance in this thing, right?
No.
All right.
No. But,
you said moon princess. My brain went to the bad place.
Ark is a princess. And she was she was called the pure white princess. You know, or true blood princess. You know, for the whole vampiric race. You know, and she wore this long white dress and she lived in this tower. And she wasn't created by another vampire. She was a pure blood, you know, born that way from like two other vampires. I mean, I don't know how vampires mate. Maybe they lay eggs. I don't know. But anyway, she was born a vampire with the purest blood. She wasn't human and then tainted.
Okay. You know?
And she refused to drink unpure blood. So she didn't really drink blood. And that's where, you know, the whole essence of the purity comes in.
Uh-huh.
You know, and this man, Roa, wanted to corrupt her. You know, and in a sense, he seduced her and had her drink poison type thing.
How do you, in a sense, be seduced? Either he seduced her or he didn't.
Well, he did. Because, I mean, he's not bad on the eyes.
Uh-huh. The bad guys, you never are in anime.
So he's kind of sexy. You know, and if I was, you know, a pure blood vampire, you know, in a tower for most of my life and some hot man sausage walked by, I'd probably be like, hey, what's up? You know, I'm a princess. You know, so he does. He does manage to win her, you know, and they're drinking to celebrate their love. And it was like this, the purest, like, poison ever. And it enabled her and he killed her. He pitched her off of her tower. You know, but...
Wait, but she didn't die.
No.
So he didn't kill her.
Well, see, I'm trying to get to it. So this attraction, this love, and this betrayal, in a sense, made this repetitive curse that can't ever be broken.
Oh, okay. So they've got an eternal curse?
Yes. You know, so from that point on, from that first betrayal of Roa, they would both be reincarnated over time, come together, fight, because, you know, obviously they have retain all their memories from, you know, the first betrayal. So, you know, Ark is pissed, you know, that, you know, he killed her, and, you know, she wants now to kill him, and he still wants to kill her. So, you know, that never really stopped, because I don't think he actually really loved her at all. I think he was just seducing her to get her close so that he could kill her, you know.
Uh-huh.
So comes this battle between these two people, and, well, not even people, because they're not alive. But anyway, when Ark meets Shiki, you know, I guess part of her mind thought, well, he can see death lines. You know, and the whole point of the death lines is, you know, if you slice through all of them through, like, out an object or a person,
uh-huh,
that person will no longer exist. They will die. They have no ties to the world they're living
so
in.
Okay, so if you cut the line to, like, an object, it'll cease to exist, too?
That's right.
Okay, so, like, if I was in this anime and, like, I cut the line to, like, my cell bill and my credit card bill, they would cease to exist and I wouldn't have to pay them?
That's right.
Oh, that would be so awesome.
But anyway, they don't, you know, it's not a parlor trick, ninja.
What? I'm just saying, that would be kick-ass.
But anyway, it's...
You can just slice a line and make your, like, you know, credit card bill disappear?
That'd be anyway... Sweet. Anyway.
Because I wouldn't be killing people. I wouldn't be slicing people's lines because that's cold-hearted. But objects? Well, oh, I'd still be making objects not exist anymore.
I know.
All right, I'm done.
But anyway, so, you know, she starts thinking strategically that if she can get Shiki, you know, to fight Roa and to slice through all of his lines, that this you know, repetitive reincarnation to battle would end, and that finally she can be put to rest.
Okay.
And, you know, and Shiki doesn't want to have anything to do with it. You know, he doesn't want to, you know, embrace any of that, you know, and she kind of forces it because she kind of just follows him around until bad guys follow her around. So then he kind of has to protect her in order to protect himself.
Uh-huh. That's nice of her.
Yeah. But I mean, throughout, you know, that, you know, constant following around, you know, he begins to ask her questions and she begins to, in a sense, live. You know, because she's not just going, okay, I've been reincarnated, which means Ro is going to be reincarnated soon, which means we're going to battle and we're both going to die.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now she's going, you know, maybe this time I won't die. And maybe this time I'll be able to live some type of life. And maybe, just maybe, I'll find real love, in a sense. Because, you know, I think she slightly is kind of striving for that because, you know, probably between episode 6 and 7, you start seeing, you know, her warming up to Shiki. You know, and Shiki, in a sense, is warming up to her, too. Like,
there's a lot of,
you know,
gentle kind of warming sensation.
Like KY Jelly, yeah. Like, they put KY Jelly on their hearts, and now it's kind of like warming contact.
Okay.
But, yeah. Mm-hmm. So you've got this slight love interest coming in. You've got the super spy ninja Christian lady trying to keep Ark with Shiki.
That's funny.
She feels that, you know, Ark is going to bite him and try to corrupt him.
I am a ninja for the Lord. Poof!
You know, and then, you know, you've got the other side of it, you know, Shiki's, you know, family past, you know, because he's got this sister who's like this fucking prim and proper douchebag, and I can't stand her. I can't stand
no,
her.
No, really. Prim and proper douchebag? Yeah. What was my first clue that you didn't like her?
I think the douchebag.
Yeah,
really
probably
kinda,
the douchebag did it.
You know, and she's, you know, she's got this brother complex, and she's so obsessed with, you know, I don't know why Shiki wants to be around women like that. I don't understand why he wants to go to public school. He's so, you know, she's overly protective, and you're kind of like, why? You know, because you don't understand why. You know, and like, they keep building you up, you know, and now you're at, like, the second and third date, you know, everything's going really good, you know, you feel like, oh, man, this is going to pick up any moment, and we're going to have sex, you know, in the sense of, like, a dating thing, like, it's building up to that, you know, climactic moment where, you know, you take somebody back home for hot coffee.
Yeah.
hot coffee.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they pretty much pour the hot coffee down your pants, because...
Ow!
Yeah, because here's the twist. You know that secret ninja Christian lady?
Yeah.
Well, she used to be Roa.
I'm sorry, what?
She had been possessed by the spirit of Roa and at one point was pursuing to kill Ark. But the Christians purified her and, like, tattooed her all up. Like, she has all these, like, tribal tattoos that, like, have, like, symbolic Christian power, which I don't understand because I don't know too many Christians who got too many, you know, symbolic tattoos of purity on them. I don't even believe we believe in, you know, symbolism. But I could be wrong.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, there's no Christ on crosses, right?
Well, I mean, that's the only one.
There's no, you know, host at communion, right? That's not symbolism.
One symbol, but I mean, okay. I don't see, you know, tribal, like, lines, like, on Jesus.
Yeah, because, you know, I don't want to get into all, you know, Jesus was a Jew, and so you're not supposed to tattoo your body, but you're not supposed to have anything on it that wasn't, you know, born with it type thing. I don't want to get into all of that because, you know, that's completely another podcast.
That's
but,
another podcast.
Jesus would not have tribal tattoos,
no.
But people did mark themselves up to, you know, show what God they used to believe in. Like,
that's
that,
right.
In the day.
So, I mean, I didn't understand that tie because she's covered in them.
Yeah.
Like, and you're like, what the fuck?
It's just supposed to be a cool visual in the anime.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. So, you know, that's her tie. And apparently the family that tends to host the Roa incarnations is the family that Shiki is in. So this ninja Christian, you know, for lack of a better word.
Ninja Christian, the time has come. Yeah, sorry.
Has this double agenda, you know, trying to protect Shiki, but also waiting to see who, because she believes that the, you know, Roa's reincarnation is going to...
Oh, let me guess, it's Shiki.
Well, yes and no.
Because what do you mean, Shiki, yes and no?
Because the Shiki that we know isn't the real Shiki. Or isn't the Shiki of the family that he's in.
Okay, wait, my brain is hurting.
Yes, because this is how sucky the development of this story is. Now, going back to the douchebag sister who I can't stand.
Yes, we know how you feel about the douchebag.
Never leaves the house, which you don't understand why, really. You know, but you find out that that sister had a brother. And that brother was named Shiki.
Yeah, and Shiki.
We know Shiki, the fake Shiki, was adopted into this family. Because apparently Shiki number one, the Shiki we know, actually came from a secret clan of people who could see death lines. And the father of this household had this whole clan murdered so that they could not be hired as assassins to terminate anybody, you know, from any high political standpoints and all that shit. Yeah, I started digging a little deeper to find any more fucked upness, and there it was.
Okay.
So this father kills this whole clan of, you know, death line seeing people.
Yeah.
Until he finds little Shiki. And he's young and he's little and, you know, he assumes that because he's so young that he hasn't been trained in, you know, being able to see death lines. So he figures, well, maybe this boy will be different. Or maybe, you know, I can have him in the household so that he'll use his, you know, his talent or his ability.
Yeah, for the good of our family, uh-huh, yeah.
So he takes him into the house, you know, and he's like, well, I'll name you Shiki. You know, and he's like, I already have a son named Shiki, but that's cool because I can keep you straight. You know, so now you got two little boys and the douchebag sister, and they're living in this one house, and everything seems pretty good until the real Shiki starts going cuckoo. Because he starts displaying the signs that he will be the next reincarnation of Roa. Mm-hmm. And how do we know this? Because he tries to kill the douchebag sister when they're young. Like, they're little kids.
Okay.
And the crazy, you know, crazy Roa Shiki, you know, starts beating up on the little sister. And the good Shiki pulls out his knife and tries to...
And then I pull out my knife! Wait, okay.
And tries to protect... the girl, the sister, the douchebag.
Okay.
And the real Shiki, or Shiki number one.
No, you said Shiki number one was the Shiki that we know. Shiki Roa and Shiki
Fake. Shiki.
Yeah, Shiki, yeah. Shiki, Shiki Roa.
Okay. Well, Shiki Roa totally kills fake Shiki when they're young.
Wait, Shiki Roa kills fake Shiki?
Yep, when they're young.
So the Shiki that goes out in the world is the Shiki Roa?
No. I'm getting to it.
Okay, So the fake Shiki kills Shiki Roa?
No, Shiki Roa kills fake Shiki when they're little.
Okay. All right. So the Shiki Roa kills the Shiki that can see the death lines.
Yes. When they're young. But then you have to ask, well then how is there a story, cuz he died?
Yeah, the Shiki that could see the lines died, so...
Right. Well, douchebag sister is half demon.
What?
And she used... Yeah. And she used her power to revive fake Shiki.
Okay.
Used her power also to strip him of any memory of, you know, being from this clan of, you know, deathline seers, and erase his memories of there ever being another Shiki.
So what happened to Shiki Roa?
Well... See, the father of this prestigious family kind of beat him up really bad and then locked him in the basement of their mansion, hoping that, you know, he would die because he didn't feed him or anything.
Okay, so the father of the household, his half-demon daughter, conspired to lock up Shiki Roa. In the basement, which is why the half-demon daughter never leaves the house.
The house.
Okay. And then revived Shiki.
Yep.
But took away his memories of being from the fucky clan.
Yep.
Okay, my brain hurts.
Yes. see, this is why the series completely fucks up, because there's no coherent, you know, lineage from one, from point A to point Z. Like, it went A, T, U, Q, R, P, L, M, N, C, D, W. And it completely fucks with your brain. But, you know, to finish off the story, Shikiroa isn't really dead. Shikiroa busts out of the mansion.
Uh-huh.
Shiki starts regaining his memories of where he came from, sort of.
Uh-huh.
Roa finds Ark. Ark and Shiki fuck.
What?
Ark goes off to fight Roa. Ark dies.
Oh, come on.
Shikiroa. And Shiki cuts through all the lines to Shikiroa. And then Christian Ninja lets Shiki know that no matter how many times he does that, the curse on Shikiroa and Ark can never be broken.
Oh, for the love of Pete.
A waste of time. Now, sadly, throughout all this, Ark and Shiki did fall in love with each other, but can never be together because she probably won't get reincarnated until he dies.
Oh, that's lovely. That's lovely. That's a good one.
So he's got to come to terms with a love lost and, you know, not being able to protect her with his power and having to come to terms with his power. And, yeah.
Great. Yeah, that sounds like a good one. That's a winner right there.
Needless to say, you know, I didn't feel that, you know, I felt like there was great potential with this series. It could have really taken, you know, us on a suspenseful, you know, happy-go-lucky, you know, pukey ride, and it really just kind of, you know, it dropped the ball on the way to hot coffee, and it, like, spilt the hot coffee on my Prada shoes.
Oh, I'd sue.
Yeah. Like,
you
it
do
just,
not
it,
mess with the Prada.
It just dropped, you know, the ball. I mean, it was physically, like, beautifully, it was drawn very well. You know, and it gives you a really good atmosphere. It gets you all set up. You're all set to go.
And then the crack monkeys started writing for the show, and then it just kind of went off on a bender.
Yeah.
See, that's why you got to keep your writing monkeys off crack.
If you haven't watched the series, if you know someone who was stupid enough to buy it, you know, and sadly, I am one of these people. I do have the series, you know, the whole thing, all 12 fucking episodes. You know, and you're ever bored out of your mind and kind of don't want to, you know, have any, like, coherent thought, then borrow it. Make a day out of it. You know, you want to make your girlfriend angry? Make her watch it. You know, if, you know.
It's that good, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. But, needless to say, I wouldn't go out of my way to get this again. Like, if I could backtrack to the day that I bought this, because I was debating between buying Angelic Lair or this, I totally would have gone for Angelic Lair.
Okay.
So, don't get it. If you already got it, join the club. We have matching jackets. We meet on Tuesdays.
Tuesdays and Thursdays at the Denny's.
At Denny's.
Grand Slam! All right.
But, you know, though I have to say, probably the only shining grace to this series that I felt, you know, is worth mentioning is the opening and ending songs. Because if you kind of like that whole semi-porno music meets gothic twinge, it's up your alley.
Semi-gotho-porno-graphic twinge. All right.
Yeah. I like it. It makes me want to go.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. All right.
We'll just, that's it.
That's another podcast.
But okay. That's all Pandalicious has for you guys today. So I'm gonna hand the mic back over.
Oh, that means it's my turn.
It's your turn.
I don't know if I can, like, do my thing now because my brain is so fucked up.
Not
with
my
the
fault.
Purebred vampire moon princess doomed
not
attorney.
My fault. I didn't draw it and I didn't make the story.
Evidently the crack monkeys did. And see, this is why
the crack monkeys did.
This is why you gotta keep your monkeys off of crack, people.
Yes, yes, yes.
You gotta keep the monkeys off the crack. Keep them off the pipe. That's all you gotta do. Keep them off the pipe, keep them off the pole, and you're doing your job.
Well, monkeys live in trees, so aren't tree limbs kind of like poles?
No, tree limbs are tree limbs, pole's a pole. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I do.
All right.
Anyway, moving on. Ninja, it's your turn, biatch.
All right. I'd like to get a moment of silence for the expo, formerly known as E3. Yeah. Yeah, that's nice.
Can I talk now?
Yeah, you can talk now.
Okay.
All right, if you've been living in a rock or in a cave or were in a coma last week and are just coming out of it. Don't lie. Okay. Why are you lying? You were not in a coma last week because I talked to you last week.
Okay.
The ESA, the Electronic Software Association, the people that actually throw the E3 Expo, earlier this week announced that E3 was quote-unquote evolving over the next year.
Downsizing.
Yeah, because what they call an evolution, a lot of people on the blogosphere and on the mainstream media websites and outlets are calling it the end of E3. I call it an extinguishing because people, the fire has been put out of E3.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, it's bad. It's so bad. It hurts me in my gamer soul. It's like they
Does
took
it kick you in your gamer nuts.
Dude, they took away my extra man, okay? They took away my extra man.
Aww, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Basically there's a press release on the ESA website where they say what they're actually hoping to do and what the event's going to turn into. But there was one quote, well, there was a few quotes in the press release that gave me the shivers, but one in particular says that they are working E3 into a more intimate program, including higher quality, more personal dialogue with the worldwide media developers, retailers, and other key industry audiences. And I had to reread that statement a few times, and every time I did, I just got more and more depressed. Because the thing about that statement that sticks in my craw is the term worldwide media. Like, okay, so does that mean that little guy media outlets like, I don't know, ESH, for instance, won't be included in the new E3?
No! No. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Panic starts like building in my body. Okay. And I actually ended up having to put my glasses on to read because my eyes start welling up with tears. So,
Ninja.
I keep reading through. It gets worse. It gets worse. So I keep reading through this press release, and they're saying that the expo will still be in LA, but it's not going to be at the convention center anymore. So there's a huge bummer. Because that means it really is going to be smaller. The new event will focus on press events and small meetings with the different media sectors and will still afford for some gameplay demos, but it will not feature the large trade show environment as before. Ladies and gentlemen, the E3 fire has now been officially put out. That means that Microsoft, Sony, Nintendo, and EA aren't going to the new event.
No.
Yeah, they pulled their support. They're not going. They're not putting on a thing. Since they're not going and they're not providing the demo boxes for whoever does end up going, and I'll get to that later on in the thing, that means that all of these smaller media sectors, outlets, and developers got to bring their own, roll their own, and afford it. So I really don't see a lot of that happening.
No.
Because while Microsoft can budget $10 million to throw a big, huge extravaganza, THQ and Atari can't, won't,
Ooh.
Aren't going to.
Ooh.
You see what I'm saying? Ooh. So I start asking myself, what does this all mean? If the only press that's going to be at this E3 event are going to be hand-picked, pre-approved members from large media houses or people who work in or for the gaming industry itself. Exactly how unbiased will those previews and reviews that come out of the event be? I mean, the thing that I loved and most gamers loved about E3 was that a lot of websites, webzines like ESH and Destructoid and thing like that got to go. And so you got previews and reviews from actual gamers that they could tell you, yeah, I played this game hands-on, and oh my god, it actually does live up to the hype. Like, the thing that I tested was really cool. Or, you know, a game that they're hyping that's going to be, you know, this kick-ass game actually sucks balls. And you got to hear that before the games actually came out in the store and you had to pony up $50 to try it and find out that it was a sack of shit.
Boo.
And could only trade it back in at your local, you know, GameStop, EB Games for like $12 after you spent $50 on it. You know, that kind of stuff. And because it scares me so badly. Because, let's face it, OPM, unless a game sucks so bad and so loud that even Jesus would have to be like, yeah, that game sucks. Like, I can't front.
I did not create that in my image.
Yeah, that has nothing to do with me. Okay. OPM doesn't give any game, as far as I can see, that comes out of a Sony development studio less than a 5 or 5.5 out of a 10-point scale in their magazine reviews or previews. I mean, a game has to suck really bad that comes out of Sony before OPM will be like, yeah, that game really sucks. Like, they'll find some element. Oh, yeah, the game engine that they revamped, it really works well. The visuals could use a little work, but we're going to give this game a solid 5 as opposed to giving it a solid 2.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I know that this isn't a Sony game, but do you remember how much they hyped up State of Emergency, the original State of Emergency, when it was going to be coming out?
No, how much did they hype it?
They did this, like, 3-page layout thing on it, and they were like, yeah, this game's going to be awesome. You can grab people and use, you know, their arms as weapons, and you can, like, blow up buildings, and it's just anarchy all over the place, and you can just have all kinds of fun, and this game is awesome. We tried it. Hands-on, it's going to be fantastic, you guys should all buy it. Yeah, then the game comes out, and it's actually released, like, 6 months later, and it sucks balls. I mean, the animation, the graphics are really, really simplistic. The gameplay actually isn't fun at all or intuitive. Yeah, you can blow stuff up, but,
anarchy?
No, not really.
No.
It's fake anarchy.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. Big letdown. Yeah.
No.
So now we go back to the event and I ask what happens. I mean, as far as the event, most of the gamers that I know dreamed about going to E3. Like, E3 was the promised land for a gamer. Okay, that's what you always hoped to go to. Like, okay, May's coming, E3's coming, they're going to announce all those games, I'm going to go, I'm going to try and get down there so I can try that stuff. I don't care if I got to stand in a line for 3 hours, I want to be able to play the new system and see all the games and get all the free goodies from my goodie bag, and it's going to be awesome, and if only I could go. And, right. You know, that's not going to happen. No hobnobbing with the game developers, no Microsoft parties, no swag bags.
No swag bags.
No swag bags. No game demos.
No game demos.
Okay. Yeah. What the hell kind of E3 is that?
A really sucky one.
Yeah. I mean, part of the reason why we started ESH was because we wanted to be able to go to E3.
I wanted to go to E3.
Okay.
I wanted to go to E3.
You know, yeah. That was part of the reason why we started this thing, so that we could go to E3 07 and we could go to Anime Anaheim.
Oh, Anime Anaheim.
And that's still on the hit list, bitch. Anime Anaheim, we are going to go. But I don't know about E3, because in all honesty, like I said I think it's extinguished. I think it's out. Because basically, they have now barricaded off the promised land, and they've got a demolition crew on the property, and they've got a sign out front saying that they're getting ready to put up a new high-rise, ultra-luxurious, intimate condo. I fucking hate condos. They ruin everything for everybody. I mean, I'm trying to hold back my opinion until the ESA gets E3 all restructured and we see how it's all going to pan out. But I am really terrified of what's going to happen. I sent an email, actually, to the PR person for the ESA on this matter. And their name was Stacy Wade. And, you know, put together a really nice letter. I was like, I know that you probably don't have a lot of answers and you've been answering this question over and over this week, but I got to tell you that I'm really terrified of what this means for a small web outlet like myself, the one that I represent, as far as going to E3, because I do know that it's an invitation-only thing. Is there anything you can say just to give us a little hope that, you know, E3 is going to happen and we might be actually able to go? And I got an email back a couple of days later, and Stacy was really polite. It was like, you know, we're not answering questions, interview questions about the release anymore. And I thank you for being so understanding about the situation and things like that. And then was like, as far as actually getting invited to the event next year, email me back next year as it gets closer to the event. And then that was it. And don't get me wrong, I'm really thankful for the, you know, catch me next week and I'll see if I can hook you up thing at the end.
Right.
But I, knowing what I know, like, do you remember Comdex?
No.
Okay, yeah. Most people don't remember.
That before me?
No, you were just too young to really give a damn about it, but I remember Comdex because I wanted to go to Comdex. And Comdex was the computer industry expo. Okay.
Okay.
It was huge. Comdex was huge. Okay. If you did tech anything, you went to Comdex.
Okay.
Yeah. Comdex had to do a restructuring back back in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
And then came out with the information about when the event was going to be and where it was going to be a few months before. And then about a month or so after that announcement, they said, no, we're going to have to delay it because we're not quite ready, but it's going to happen at this point. And then the month after that, they said, yeah, we're canceling it. It's over. No more Comdex.
That sucks.
Because when the big boys pull up their toys and go home, no more trade show.
No.
No more convention.
No.
Okay. I don't want to sound the alarm, but I think that E3 is going to be the next Comdex. Now that Microsoft, Nintendo, Sony, and EA aren't going to go, do you think that Ubisoft and Activision and THQ and Midway are going to go to this new intimate event when they can throw their own intimate events on their own campus?
Yeah.
And invite the press that they want for a much cheaper rate, making it so that they don't have to leave their development centers. They can just house it in-house and make everybody come to them so they don't have to fly staffers and equipment across the country.
Ooh.
You think they're going to want to prefer to do the other thing and be the flagships, the cornerstones of the new event?
Oh, that sucks.
Atari's on its last legs. Do you honestly think that they want to foot the bill for a trade show?
Probably not.
No. No.
So now
you're going to have all of the big three, Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo, hosting their probably their own events throughout the year. And you know that EA it already does their autumn and spring game showcases already, so they'll probably keep doing that. But all those things are going to be invitation only. Okay? So how many outlets like us do you think are going to get on the invite list? Because I don't think EA is going to be inviting us to their spring show.
None.
Yeah, exactly.
Or very, very little.
So it means that the outlets that are going to get the invitation pretty much are going to get the press release that these companies would be releasing a little bit early, and the party line about how great and how excited they are about their new announcements, but they're not going to get their hands on anything. Very few will get their hands. They'll have to have like an inside man that's going to hook them up with a demo for a few minutes. But it's going to be a dog and pony show.
Right.
And you're not going to get any unbiased information. That's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid that at this time when we really need to know what games are going to suck, because let's face it, games aren't getting any cheaper.
Nope.
I kind of need to know if it's worth me plunking down probably the $70, $70-$80 I'm going to have to plunk down for PlayStation 3 games a little bit beforehand. Right. Seeing as how I'm not going to be able to trade them in and get even half of that back. I'd kind of like to not get screwed on the front end. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because I know if I was going to get screwed, I'd want to get screwed in the back end.
Yeah, that's another podcast. That's another podcast. That's not a joke. That's another podcast.
I was just making it funny.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm not in a funny mood. E3's over, man.
I know. I just wanted to
fuck!
Feel better. I'm
sorry. Fuck, dude. Fuck. All right. Anyway, I need to move on to something else before I cry. That's something that'll make me happy. And so I did see some stuff that'll make me happy. Will Wright, the guy that created The Sims and is creating Spore.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's like, hell yeah, as far as Spore on the Wii. The Nintendo Wii. Yeah, because Spore was originally just going to pop up on the PC first. And then they were going to work on porting different parts of it to the consoles. Because, like, if you've ever played The Sims on a computer and then played The Sims on a console, you notice there's a huge difference in the gameplay playing the two games, because you don't have a mouse, so it's not as easy to get around to the stuff that you want your person to do. The analog buttons help, but it's not the same as a mouse. Right. And that's one of the things that Will was saying, was that, you know, to do something on a console, we really have to make this thing based around the avatar in the game and avatar interactions, as opposed to, you know, on the computer, you can do environment stuff and interacting with that, and that's why Spore works. He goes, but now with the Wii controller, you know, the motion sensor thing, you know, that actually can act like a random access thing, like a mouse, and so I'm really excited about bringing it. So, yeah, we're going to be doing that.
Right.
I was like, hell yeah, Spore on the Wii!
I like Sim, so I'll probably really like Spore,
too.
Oh,
yeah, you're going to dig Spore. It will probably get more of your time than Warcraft, I'll be honest with you. And that kind of is a little scary. Actually, it's a lot scary.
Yeah.
But another thing that was really interesting was that made my heart feel a little bit better. Ubisoft announced 7 launch titles for the Nintendo Wii. Yes, Ubisoft announced 7, S-E-V-E-N, launch titles for the Nintendo Wii, including Red Steel, Far Cry, and Rayman Raving Rabbids. Now, some people might not understand why that's a big deal. Well, you have one developer saying that they will have themselves 7 titles ready at the launch of the Wii. That's not including the launch titles that Nintendo is going to have ready, or the launch titles that EA is going to have ready, which EA says that they're going to have 6 launch titles ready for the Wii when the Wii comes out, which means you're going to have probably somewhere in the range of, I'm going to say, 20 to 25 games to choose from at launch.
Right.
When the Wii comes out, not to mention the 20 to 30 arcade titles that are going to be ready for purchase and download on the Wii when it comes out. So you're going to have so much choice when the system comes out, it's going to be ridiculous. And then EA lets it slip that the new titles, game titles for the Wii, yeah, they're not going to cost more than $49.99 at the most.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So, just to give you a little perspective on that, brand new titles for the Xbox 360 right now currently cost $59.99, As we know, because I've talked about it before, Sony really hasn't said what their games are going to cost, just that they're going to cost more than $59.99, but less than $99.99. And there's a whole lot of price points in between there. So I'm guessing, I'm going to split the difference. I'm going to say that the title's probably going to cost somewhere in the $70 to $80 range for new titles on the PS3. So for one PS title, you can probably get a couple of Wii titles. You can get one new one and probably one not so multi-mega million dollar title for like $29 or $39.99.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I keep waiting to hear news, something negative in the news about the Nintendo Wii. I keep looking for something, because I really don't want to be a Nintendo Wii fanboy, but I think that I'm turning into one, because I can't find anything negative. You know, they're pricing the system at the very most at $250. I've seen things that have said that it's probably going to be $199.99 for the system. You can use your old GameCube controllers with the system, so you don't have to go out and buy all new Nunchaku controllers if you don't want to. You can kind of do it over time. You can play your old GameCube games on it. You don't need a special little dongle or anything. You can just pop them in and it'll work. Then the whole download demos for your DS Lite onto the system, and then plug in your DS Lite and put the demo from the system onto your DS Lite. Check it out. See if you like it. If you do, you pre-order. I keep hearing nothing but things that are positive that make me excited for the system. And now you're telling me that the games aren't going to cost any more than games for the GameCube right now are costing?
That's pretty fucking awesome.
And I'm going to have probably 20 different games that I can choose from when I buy the system to play. Not just 7, but I'll be able to play actual new games day one.
That's fucking sweet.
There's nothing that makes me think that everybody shouldn't pick up one. I mean, any gamer of any skill level. All right, if you're a casual gamer, you should buy one because you can game and not have to, you know, not pay your rent. Because let's face it, $600, that's close to some people's rent payments, okay? For a fraction of that, you can get a Nintendo Wii and probably still be able to make your rent payment and have plenty of stuff to play. If you're a hardcore gamer, dude, LucasArts has said that they're building a game where you're going to use the Wiimote as a lightsaber. Come on!
No way.
Yes!
No.
Do you, like, read any of the stuff that I write for the website?
Yeah,
I wrote about that a while ago. Lightsaber battles on the Wii! Lightsaber battles on the Wii, people!
Oh, dude. Well, that sounds fucking cool.
This is what I'm saying. I'm not hearing anything that doesn't make me think that this system is just gonna be chill.
Well, then. It sounds pretty fucking awesome to me.
Yeah.
I want to play with a lightsaber.
Yeah, and that's my up news. And I wanted to end on it, but I forgot one thing, and I have to say it. You know how we've been talking about Stranglehold, the kick-ass game where you go through the environments. If you break a plate, it stays broken. And if you break stuff, the debris stays there and it builds up. And if there was a clue under the debris, you have to now dig through the debris to find it. The John Woo game.
Yes.
Yeah, it's been delayed.
Indefinitely?
Not indefinitely. Midway says to not expect it until quarter one of 2007, which means March of 2007 at the earliest. And that's if they can get it to work. So no Stranglehold for Christmas, people.
Aww.
But you can get a Nintendo Wii.
I want to get a Wii.
Yep.
I thought that I would be, you know, like, getting a PS3, but I have to say that it looks like I'm going to become a Wii girl.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying so hard to not be a Wii fanboy, but they're just making it real difficult. Anyway, that's all I got.
Right.
So, keep hitting us up on the website, people. www.electricsisterhood.com. You can comment on our articles. Let us know if you think that we've said something that's completely fucking wrong or completely fucking right. Or if you just want to say, hey, I heard the podcast. What the fuck? You know, we'll take it. We'll take it. But you can also enter our sweepstakes at the website multiple different ways.
Right.
Multitude of different ways. Either by using our form through the Hit Us Up link and filling it out and clicking on the Enter Me in the Sweepstakes button. Or you can call us at 1-888-333-8985. It's a toll-free number, which means it's a free call for you. It's free love for us. Yep. You can ask us questions. If we think your question is cool or your comment is cool, we'll actually use it in a podcast. So get on the phone, bitch.
Get on the phone,
call
bitch.
Us up. We've also made some changes to the website. So you need to stop by. We've added some awesome new features. We've got a glossary holder page up because I'm still waiting for terms and definitions to come in. So
I'm working on it.
I got magic on it too. So that's coming. We've got additional glossary things. And we also have a new thing now called Fresh Talk, which is a little widget that sits on the website. It's made by the wonderful people over at Meebo. Meebo.com. You're awesome. And it allows you people to talk to me in IM directly when I'm on.
Wow.
From every page in the website. So if you see me on and you got a quick question about a post or you're looking for something and you want a little help finding it, shoot me a message. You can't miss me.
That's awesome.
So stop by the site, check out how to use it, and also you can stop by our Freshware holder page as well. So I encourage you all, really, stop by the website. We're doing some big things, people, and we're doing it all for you.
And we're doing it for you and for us, too.
Yeah, but mostly for you.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's it. This podcast is toast.
This podcast is toast.
So what are you going to do with your toast?
I'm going to have Nutella.
I don't like that stuff.
Well, you don't have to. I'm eating it.
Oh, wait, you know what? I'm sorry. I was thinking of Vegemite. I don't know why. I confused those two. I don't like Vegemite. Vegemite is nasty. I mean, not knocking the people who like it. I'm sorry.
Everyone's got their own taste.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I confused that. Yeah. I always confuse Nutella.
Nutella is chocolatey goodness with a little bit of hazelnut.
That's right. It's yummy. That sounds fine. I was thinking you were putting Vegemite on the toast. I was like,
You can use Nutella for lots of different reasons.
Okay, that's another podcast. I'm just going to take my toast and I'm going to put butter on it so that the butter like cooks into all the little nooks and crannies. And then when it comes out, strawberry preserves.
Yum, yum, yum.
Yep. But that's the podcast for this week, people. I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we're out.
And we're out.